series on the book of James. Today I have a message that kind of stands by itself. It's called Delight Yourself in the Lord. Next week, we're going to celebrate our 15-year anniversary as a church, and so the message will be appropriate to that event. But today, as we are starting this evening, 7 days of prayer and fasting, and we, the elders and the pastors, we decided we want to do this once a quarter. Every 3 months, we want to, in that quarter, have a seven-day period of resetting our clocks, just focusing on God, you know, getting our hearts right, praying for our church, praying for our nation, praying for our families, praying for our communities. I just read an article by Jack Hayford the other day. He's a wonderful statesman, man of God, Jack Hayford. He's just turned 80 years old. He celebrated his 80th birthday, his 60th anniversary, and I think 55 years in ministry. A wonderful man of God that we were kind of close to down when we were in L.A., Van Nuys Foursquare Church. He wrote an article about intercession and how that the church kind of worldwide has kind of lost the art of interceding. You know, we pray a lot for ourselves, but we don't always or often intercede for others. And this is an opportunity for us to do that. Pray for ourselves, yes, but also to intercede for our nation, for our city, our state, our country, our family, people around us. So I want to talk to you today about that. The title of my message is Delight Yourself in the Lord. And you're going to see how these are related, because I really believe that in whatever trouble that we're facing in life, how many of you ever faced any troubles? Even after you became a Christian and gave your life to the Lord, and maybe somebody told you that once you became a Christian, you'd never have any problems. They weren't telling you the truth. That's really not the fact. The fact is we live on a fallen planet. It's under a curse. There is an agency called the demonic forces of darkness. There's a being called the devil that Jesus talked about. So all that stuff, there's stuff, there's evil, there's junk, there's sickness, disease, pain, all this stuff. Even after we're Christian, it doesn't go away, but we have the power within us to keep overcoming and overcome these challenges and to live a life. But we face stuff, and I want to talk to you today about two keys on how to overcome the stuff of life. Maybe we need to quit praying that all the stuff would leave, because it's not until at a given time, Jesus is coming back and he's going to bind Satan for 1,000 years. And then it's going to be just the way we like it, the way he intended it. But today it's not like that. And he has purposely put us in this pressure cooker to develop faith on the inside of us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we shouldn't get mad at the circumstances of life, because those are the agents that God is using in our life to develop faith. You know, if there was no gravity, pretty soon your muscles would atrophy. They have no resistance. And that's the way it is with our faith. If there's not ever anything pushing against you, you don't have an opportunity to use your faith to change circumstances. We need challenges. I've embraced that old saying, whatever doesn't kill you makes you better. I've found that to be true. If I can make it through this, I'm going to come through on this other side better, more pleasing to God, and more able to help other people go through the challenges of life. Have you ever felt like you were in such a pressure cooker? Have you felt like your head was going to explode? I have. I don't know if anybody else. It reminds me of that little scene in Shrek. Now, I know y'all too spiritual to watch Shrek, but I like Shrek. And there's a little part in there where the girl is singing to the bird. You remember that? And the bird, and they keep going higher and higher, and all of a sudden the bird explodes. I've felt like that bird sometimes in my life. Like I was just getting ready to, boom, explode and just go in little pieces. Anybody ever can relate to what I'm talking about? The pressures of life sometimes seem so great. There's a Bible verse that has helped keep my head from exploding like that little bird. I want to share it with you today. It's found in Psalms 37. We'll read a few of these verses, starting in verse 3. This is a psalm of David. How many remember David, King David? He went through some really pressure-cooking times in his life. Here, let's start in verse 3. It says this. Here's David's advice. By the unction of the Holy Spirit, he's writing these words that will help you through the challenges of life. You're going to go through challenges. It's going to be tough. Life's going to be tough. But you got to turn to this passages like this and summon the power, the grace, and the strength of God up on the inside of you and overcome those challenges. The book of Revelations is full of this passage that keeps saying, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes. That's the test. That's what we're going through. You're in a test right now. Every one of you are in a test to see if you're going to overcome or be overcome. And what my Bible tells me is that what Jesus accomplished on the cross gives me the power to overcome. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord. Here's the key right now. Trust in the Lord. We could just stop there. We could just camp there. You can just take those words right there and go home and think about that for the rest of the week. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. There's something for you to do. And I don't know, sometimes it tells me just stay put. Because our reaction many times is run, go, do, dwell in the land. Just calm down. That's what it says to me. Calm down, dwell in the land, and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivation is a part of the planting process that eventually yields a harvest, right? Sowing and reaping. Cultivate what? Corn, money, fame, power, accolades, peace, comfort. No, faithfulness. And then those other things will come to you. Cultivate faithfulness. The test that you're going through right now is a test of your faith and your faithfulness. So continue to be faithful to God, faithful to the things he's asked you to do, faithful to the people around you, faithful to your boss, faithful to your team and church that you're involved. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. That verse, those words right there have helped me more than any other verse. Definitely, probably helped me more than any other verse in the Bible. Delight yourself in the Lord. That helps me a lot, because usually the stuff that I'm worried about, you know, is just, it's stuff. Nobody's taken the Holy Spirit out of me. Nobody has changed my eternal destiny. I'm worried about stuff. I'm worried about what people are going to do, what people are going to say, or what's going to happen. And then it comes down to delight yourself. Oh yeah, that's right. If all my hope and all my dreams, all my ambition is wrapped up in him, nothing affects that. People can't affect that stuff. Circumstances, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. You're going to be happy. Notice what he's saying. Focus on him and it's going to be all right. You're going to be happy. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Continue on. Commit your way to the Lord. Okay, how am I responding to this? Let me commit it to the Lord. Let me commit this event in my life, this circumstance, this challenge that I'm facing, this obstacle, this mountain. Commit your way to the Lord. Yeah. Trust also in him. And guess what? He'll do it. See, but we want to do it. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. I want to fix this thing. No, he's saying, give it to me. Let all your hope and dreams be in me. Turn it over to me. I'll take care of it. And we often say, I think I better do this one. And I think what God says is, okay, let's see how you do. Let's see how you handle it. Let's see how it turns out. He does, because he gives us free will. If you want to handle it, he's like, go ahead. You got it, big boy. Take care of it. Or we say, I give it to you. I trust in you. I look through this and you'll notice there are things that we have to do and there are things that God says he will do. Where we get messed up is we try to do God's part. And all we need to do is our part. And here's the R part. I just trust. This is the first one that came out. Dwell, delight, commit, and then trust. And then the rest, he takes care of. I'll give you the desire chart. See, he'll give you the desire chart. Often we go out and we try to get the desires of our heart. No, he says just delight yourself in the Lord. I'll give you the desires of your heart. What I've found is if I fix my eyes, my hope, and all my dreams on him, he's going to take care of the rest. Now, the hard part is the verses that follow, which have to do with waiting, trusting. You know, I love this part of the Westminster Catechism. It says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to love and enjoy him forever. I think that's the meaning of life, is to glorify God. That's life's highest calling, walking with him. Life's highest good, life's highest joy, life's greatest fulfillment. It's like Paul said, that I may know him. Amen. Yeah? And like David said, to delight myself in the Lord. Knowing God, walking with God, all true success just revolves around this, that nothing shakes me and there's really nothing that I have to have. You know, if you have to have something, you become a slave. If I've got everything I need because what I need is a relationship with God, and I've got that, and no circumstance in life can prevent, can bar me from that, then everything's going to be okay. So today I want to, in the next phase of the message today, talk about how to draw closer to God. God is a spirit. We live in a physical, mortal body, and we have earthly issues to deal with, don't we? And we have vices at work in us, all of us. Lust, greed, pride, selfishness, avarice, and the list goes on and on. Passions that pull us away from God and away from true blessings. And you know what? That's normal for us all. You're not weird and you're not bad because you have selfish desires, because you have pride, because we inherited it from the fall of man. It's in us. The challenge is to overcome those, to defeat those. They never go away. So don't beat yourself up because you struggle. Keep struggling. That's what Paul said. He said, I wrestle with myself. My flesh lusts against my spirit against my flesh. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this? Jesus Christ. He's going to enable me to overcome. So there's a way to overpower those passions on the inside of us that pull us away from God. Paul called it crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires, or we might say dying to self. I want to talk about, for the rest of our message, a tool that's given to us in the Word of God to get the upper hand over the flesh and shutting down the appetites for a season. That's a tool. You shut down some of your physical appetites, and it allows the spirit to rise up to a level of ascendancy and dominance over worldly passions and desires. And it's something that the Bible is mentioned over 80 times. It's called fasting. Fasting means to do without. Basically, it's doing without food. Why? Because it's a basic need of our body. Our body always wants to eat. And what it is ruling over that. And I don't want to scare you today, and this is too much. Just think about what I'm saying. I'm not forcing anything on anybody, but I'm just going to take some scriptural principles and kind of put them out for you to think about and share some things that I've learned over the years about fasting and how powerful it is in your relationship with God and in overcoming strongholds in your life, addictions, bondages, fears, weaknesses. Fasting is very powerful. It's a form of self-denial. Isn't that something Jesus taught? He said, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. That first thing he said, take up your cross and follow me. But I'm concerned that sometimes in the church today, we stay away from anything that would put this kind of onus or our responsibility on us as believers, because we don't want to scare people. But I think today, you're not the kind of person that's going to get scared about this, right? You're going to be able to handle this, think about this, and take it at your own level. And I'm going to talk about that in specific. I don't want to overwhelm you, but we're not going to avoid a scriptural principle. There's a big part of Christianity is self-denial. It's a part of Christianity. We don't always get what we want when we want it. Hello? Self-denial. And it works. It denies the flesh rule over us. What happens is we, the real us, our spirit man, rules over our carnal man. Jesus said this to his disciples, when you fast. So he took it like when you, not like if you ever choose. No, he said, when you fast. It was like a given. When you fast, and he gave instructions. He assumed they understood this principle. Isaiah, if you go with me to Isaiah chapter 58, describes the concept of fasting in verse 5 like this. Is it a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? That's the pure essence of fasting. It humbles you because you want to eat. And it's really a test of will. Who's going to win, your spirit man or your carnal man? If I can't fast, it gives me a big clue on who's running my life. Carnal appetites, right? Is a day for a man to humble himself? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even acceptable day of the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness? Okay, here's some of the things that will happen, the benefits. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Have you ever felt like you couldn't shake something off of your life? Fasting loosens the bonds of wickedness. Next thing, undo the bands of the yoke. That's the bad yoke that you want to get rid of. Let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Power in fasting. It's a day to humble your souls and win the battle over the flesh. Glorify God. lift up God in your life, get closer to God. It humbles us because of a very simple principle. It involves patience, and it's something that none of us is really good at. Patience. And that's really what fasting is. It's not that I'm never going to eat again. It's just I'm not going to do it right now. It's waiting. And our body screams, I can't, don't wait. I can't wait. What, now, I got to do it. It teaches us patience. We don't like to wait. We want it now. Go back to Psalm 37, and we're going to continue. We read those first three verses. Let's read them again, and then follow the thought through, and we're going to learn about this concept of patience. None of us are good at patience. Even if somebody prophesies over you something great, we want it to happen right now. We know that God has something in plan for our life. We want it right now. We're not good with patience, and this is a way to help it. Go back to Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, he will do it. Next verse. Now, we already read those three, right? Now, let's follow the thought forward. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light. Good thing. Your judgment as the noonday. Great thing. 7. Rest in the Lord. Challenge. That's the challenge. Rest. No, we don't want to rest in the Lord. We want to help him. We want to go ahead of him. We want to push him. We want to make him move. Rest. Here's the challenge. Here's what fasting is all about. Rest in the Lord. Wait. Rest in the Lord. And look at this. Wait patiently for him. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. No. Oh, this is a test. It's a challenge. Wait. That's what fasting is. Your body says, I got to eat. And you say, wait. I don't want to wait. Now, I want to eat now. I'm going to die. Do you hear me? I'm going to reach up there and choke you and beat you to death. You got to feed me now. Wait. Your spirit man says, wait. Just wait. You ain't going to die. You're not going to die. You're going to make it. It's all right. It's all right. We think we're going to die. We're not going to die. It's not going to happen that quickly. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Because of him who prospers in his way, you know, all those people that you're mad at, don't worry about them. Because of the man who carries out wicked schemes, cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. If you're fearful, you're going to do something dumb, double dumb, dumb squared, bad. It's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. It leads only to evil doing. Evildoers will be cut off, but those who what? Wait. Oh, Pastor, can you preach a different message? I'm done with this one. I've heard enough of this. No, we need to hear this. Wait. Is there something in here God's trying to tell? Wait for the Lord. Those who wait for the Lord, what? They will inherit the land. Verse 10. A little while, the wicked will be no more. God's going to take care of them. You look carefully at his place. He won't be there. Verse 11. But the humble. And what does fasting do? Humbles us. Humbles our soul. But the humble, look what happens. They'll inherit the land. The land is the place that God has for you. The blessings, the inheritance, the things that God has for you. The Israelites had a promised land. It was a good place, a land flowing of milk and honey. There is a land flowing of milk and honey for everybody in this room, a land. But there's a way to get there, and it's not the way you think. It's wait patiently, trust, delight in the Lord. Look at this. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in what? Abundant prosperity. Now, that sounds great. But that's God's part to bring it to us. Our part is to humble ourselves. Fasting is about waiting and being patient, letting your mind and spirit make the decision, not your body. The mind says, you're not going to die. And the body says, I am going to die right now. The mind says, you know what? You can go like 30 or 40 days scientifically, you know, physiologically, medical science. I remember in Los Angeles, and I was in the health industry, and I was a Christian. And, you know, I believe fasting ought to be a normal part of the Christian life. I really believe that. I saw that in the Word some 39 years ago. And, you know, I'm not sharing something with you that I don't believe in and don't practice. Pretty much all these 39 years, I've made it a habit to fast one day a week, at least one day a week, just drink water. You won't die. You think you're going to die. You won't die. You actually feel better. And I can warn you this, if you make up your mind to start fasting one day a week, that will be the day that they have the office party and bring out the casserole. I'm telling you, when I worked at the college there, and I just, okay, today I'm going to fast on Thursday. Sure enough, it's Thursday at somebody's birthday. The boss bought a bunch of pizza, my favorite pizza. It's going to happen. Don't worry about it. It's because somebody's going to invite you out to lunch. Somebody's going to bring a big meal and put it right in front of you. It's going to happen. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. But you make up your mind. You make a decision. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is a discipline in my life. So pretty much all my Christian life, I've decided to fast at least one day a week for sure. And then I've done 3-day fast, 5-day, 7-day, as long as 10 days, just drinking water. You don't die. In fact, if you stop eating after 2 days, you lose the sensation of hunger. If you keep eating, you stay hungry. So it's easier if you just... And when I was in L.A. and doing more extended fasts, a lot of fasts, I ran across a book, not a Christian book, a book by a doctor in San Diego on fasting, chronicling all these diseases that he cured in a clinic in San Diego by fasting, by taking people and fasting them. And he found that the average person of normal weight could go 30 to 40 days with no problem. And what happens at the end of, say, 40 days, and this is what happened with Jesus, he fasted 40 days, and then an interesting thing happens. See, after about 2 days, you lose hunger, and your body begins to consume stored glycogen, fats, and the reason you experience pain as that goes on, because that's also where toxins are stored in your body, and they begin to be released, and you experience the pain and discomfort from toxins being expelled. But then after whatever your weight is, 30, 40 days after you've consumed all available energy sources, your body actually will begin to self-destruct and eat itself, and that's when hunger kicks back in. So that's why it says Jesus, after 40 days, became hungry. Because he used up all available resources. Now he was in destruction phase. Now he was going to self-destruct. That's when Satan came to him and tempted him. That's what's significant about that passage there. But the scientific study that this doctor did said the average person go 30, 40 days. They actually had people in the clinic that if they're overweight could go, they had people as long as 300 days. Just water. Using up, that's how much stored energy that they had in their bodies that they would monitor them before they would even get close to begin to self-destruct their body. So I'm saying that to tell you, if you're of normal weight, you got at least 30 days, all right? At least 30 days. So after 2 days, when your body says you're going to die, you say, no, I'm going to die. When we started doing the 7-day prayer and fasting last year, and the first couple of times, you know, I did what they call a Daniel fast, you know, just eat rice and beans, very simple, and that's challenging in itself. But last time I said, you know what, I'm just going to drink water. Personally, I found it much more rewarding to be able to do that. And you know what, 7 days, now usually like during my 1-day fast, in the middle of the day, my body says you're going to die, and I just go, you know what, I just did 7 days, so you know, you're lying. I ain't going to die. I know I've done 10 days. So you have to talk to yourself. You know, you have to learn. And let me just say this, caution, caveat. I am not a doctor. I did stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. And so I have, no, not really. So you might have some kind of physical condition where you take some medicines. I'm not giving medical advice. I'm giving spiritual advice. If you may have some medical condition, you take some medicines that only work with food, so I'm not encouraging you to do something against your doctor. Go talk to your doctor as to whether you should do this. But I think wherever you're at, you could stretch yourself a little bit, move a step in some direction. But the point is, all other things being normal, you're not going to die in 7 days or 30 days. You're not going to die. You might think you are. You're not. You can do it. So the mind says, not one more minute. Feed me now or I'm telling your mommy. And you're going to make it. You can do it. So I want to encourage you, this week is a week of prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you to do something. Move in some direction. Let me read two verses from Jesus, Matthew 9:15. Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Who's he talking about? Us. The bridegroom's been taken away. That's Jesus. He's taken away. And it says, and then they will fast. Christians will fast. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 6:17, Jesus talking again. He said, but when you fast, not if, but when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. He was telling them about the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they went around like with a big sign. I'm fasting. Everybody look at me. And he's saying that's not the point of it. It's not that nobody has to know. There's some times when it's proper to tell somebody. I remember in L.A., my boss would invite me to lunch. No, I can't go. And he'd start to get, well, what's wrong? You haven't eaten lunch. And I just have to, I'm fasting. He'd just freak out. What? You're going to die. No, I'm not going to die. It's going to be all right. Sometimes it's okay. The point of this is not that you never tell anybody. It's that I'm not doing it so everybody can, it's not about me showing off. It's about humility. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, what? Will repay you. That's a good thing, right? So here, a reward is associated with denying our body the right to eat for a number of days, a period of time, and it humbles ourselves, and He will repay you. It will be worth it. So this week, it's a week of prayer and fasting. I'd like everybody to set this aside as a holy week. Somehow move in a direction. This might just be scary to you, but I don't know if I can do that. Well, try just one meal. Maybe just skip one meal and see if you don't die. Just push yourself a little bit. Just a little bit. We're going to have 7 days of prayer and fasting. Tonight, we have a deeper service right here, 6 to 7 p.m., 1 hour of worship. We decided this would be a great way to start the week, just worshiping God. And we're going to close with 5 minutes of prayer to kick off the week of prayer and fasting. Come tonight. Develop that. Let the Lord speak to you. Make a decision. Make a commitment. Think, what could I do? Lord, show me something. Don't let me give it to you. Let the Holy Spirit, maybe the Lord show you. You could skip breakfast. Every day, you probably wouldn't die. Or maybe breakfast and lunch. Maybe this or that. Or maybe you could just do what the doctor told you to do 10 years ago that you never did. What? Hello? No, I know people say, oh, yeah, the doctor told me to quit eating that a long time ago. I never did that. Maybe you just ought to do what the doctors have already told you to do. Do something. Move in some direction. Then Wednesday night, we're going to have a prayer meeting, from 7 to 8. We're going to pray. Come together. Pray. And then Saturday night, we're going to meet at 6 p.m. So tonight, 6 p.m., Wednesday, 7 p.m., Saturday, 6 p.m., we're going to have an hour of prayer. An hour of prayer Wednesday night from 7 to 8, an hour of prayer Saturday from 6 to 7, and that's going to wrap up our week of prayer and fasting. So I want you to be aware of that. Take advantage of this. It's an opportunity. Maybe you never fasted and you're scared. Just start somewhere. Maybe get a partner. Get somebody, say, hey, is God speaking to you? Let's hold each other accountable. Here's what I want to do. What do you want to do? Let's call each other. Do something. Come and pray. Would you pray about that? Would you seek God? Let's just pray right now. Let's just ask the Lord what He wants us to do. Lord, I just ask You to speak to us, Lord. I believe we limit ourselves. God, we limit ourselves thinking that we can't do this or we can't do that. But Lord, I think we're capable of a lot more than we think that we can do. And I ask You just to begin to speak to us. Speak to us what we could do, how we could stretch out to deny our flesh, to maybe skip one meal a day, or maybe even fast this whole 7 days, just drinking water or just drinking juice or something minimal. You're going to speak to every one of us, Lord God, some way to fast in some way this coming week. Maybe you're here today and you're really not where you want to be with God. You want to take a step of faith. You want to move forward. You want to move into a new place with God. I'm just going to ask you to pray right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you've never prayed and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Today is that day. You feel it in your spirit. You feel like God's calling you. You want to take a step forward with God. Listen, I tell you, God loves you. Friend, God loves you. He created you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Maybe you heard a lot about God. Maybe you've been to church a lot. But maybe you're like me. I went to church for 20 years and I wasn't a Christian. If I'd have died, I'd have gone to hell. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know, Pastor. Think so, hope so, not sure. Well, that's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. You might say, well, does anybody know? Can anybody know for sure they're going to heaven? Yes, I got good news for you. The Bible says you could know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? You simply ask Jesus to forgive you your sins and come live on the inside of you, and he forgives you and he comes, lives in the inside of you, makes you into a new person. You surrender your life to Christ. If you've never done that, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, friend, that's why you're here today. You might be here today, you say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God, and I want to get back on track. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to come up front, and I'm not going to embarrass you. But if either one of those applied to you, just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Today's a new day. You want to be sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Right where you're seated, I want to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Can't save myself. Please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day. Forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God. Their lives will never be the same.